Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Howard University has made a huge jump in the U.S. News and World Report college rankings. There's also been a big donation jump for the College of Medicine, and there's much, much more happening right here at Howard University. Joining me to talk about that and much more is Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of Howard University. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lines are open. Also, you can tweet me at H Fisher, W-H-U-R, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Frederick, thanks for joining the program. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Let us first talk about this U.S. News and World Report college ranking. We've been seeing this, just about for dozens of years. But this is a huge jump from 104 to 80 between last year and this. To what do you attribute that?
Well, first, it's a testament to the faculty, staff, and students of the university in terms of really following our strategic plan. And that strategic plan, quite honestly, started several years ago. We were ranked 145, and I went into the boardroom as a newly appointed president and had a conversation about what I felt we could do to impact this. Most schools move no more than 2 points per year, and our initial plan was to try to move 5 points per year on the things that I felt were important in terms of student outcomes. There are some aspects of it that are not, I think, reasonable, such as financial resources, et cetera, things that will not impact, that Howard University will not be able to impact in a short period of time. But I did feel strongly we could impact student outcomes. And so we focused on that. And also, U.S. News and World Report also started adjusting things they were looking for. So they started focusing on Pell Grant graduation, where we do very well. This year, they've added student indebtedness. And because we charge so much less and also give so much aid, that's an area that we've done well. And those things really also help move our ranking as quickly as it has and as high as it has.
So can you give me a little bit more so that we can explain, to people who just really are not familiar with this process? Because it's one thing for you to be in college. It's one thing to be part of the academic community. But for the reason why I think this is so critical is because considering the difficult place that we are right now in this country regarding this public health issue, that there are parents who have high school students who are looking around and are paying attention to this report. Parents who have paid attention to this report, before they even had children. And so kind of give us the brass tacks of what this really means, because we're talking, first of all, moving from 104 to 80 among mainstream colleges and universities. But the other thing that's also in this report is that Howard University is now ranked number 2 among historically black colleges and universities, second only, according to this report, to Spelman.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I certainly am happy to get into those details. And you're right. Parents and students have been paying attention to this. And that's noteworthy because, for instance, this year, with the pandemic, with all of the things that have happened to disrupt our usual enrollment cycle, we currently have an increase in enrollment of 15%. And that, I think, primarily is because parents and students have been looking and paying attention to this. As I've stated before, I have some apprehension around these rankings because of all of the criteria they use. I think that they place heavy emphasis on peer assessment, and therefore those at the top continue to recommend, the other schools among them. And so it's hard when you're using peer assessment without somebody really looking at hard evidence of what you're doing to improve as a marker of success. The U.S. Newsroom Report has put more emphasis on that. So they really have started to look more closely at graduation rates, at what you do for low-income students. So there's a social mobility index. And those things are important. And yes, as people shop around, as guidance counselors look for opportunities, there's no doubt in my mind that Howard University will continue to be something that will be very high on the list of potential university students. And these results, whether we like it or not as administrators, are the types of things that people do pay attention to. And as long as they become more fair and they reflect an emphasis on quality student outcomes, then that's something that I am going to be happy for and be supportive of. But we have focused on making sure we have the best outcomes. Everything we've done has been directed at making sure that we've improved that, and that has resulted in increasing improvement in our ranking.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick about all things Howard University. If you have a comment or a question, you can give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. One of the things that just kind of struck me, Dr. Frederick, is you said that with the implementation of the strategic plan, and you said that the strategy was to, on this particular list, for example, was to make a jump of, you know, 5 places per year. 24 is eye-popping. Were you surprised at that?
Yes, I certainly was surprised because, as I said, I had done my research on, you know, how we can move and where that would be. And so that also was very surprising. But as I said, you have a combination of kind of the perfect storm. The U.S. News and World Report making adjustments that allow a university like Howard to be highlighted. And at the same time, we have been focusing on making those very things that we're good at much better. And so in the past 5 years, for instance, our graduation rate has gone up 20%. Our four-year graduation rate has improved by 20% as an example. So when you put that combination of factors together, it is not totally unthinkable that we would move that quickly. Last year, we moved back from a high position of 89 because the social mobility index was being tracked. And that index involves per grant graduation rates, et cetera. And as happens when these new things are added, universities and colleges pay more attention. They make sure their data is clearer. And so it's not unusual to have a bit of a step back. But again, because we had been moving up from 145 with a dedicated plan, it wasn't totally out of context to see us at 80. And 80 is very high. When you put this in context, if you look at private universities, we're ranked 29th in the country among private universities. And you have to remember how there are thousands of colleges and universities in this country. So for Howard University to be on a national university ranking list at that high a level speaks to the quality of the faculty, staff, and students at the university.
And I think another thing, too, when you're kind of talking about the conversations that parents have, students have who are college-bound, you usually hear, you know, one of three things. You know, what are the top 10 colleges in America? What are the top 50, maybe? And then you hear, what are the top 100? Just even in, you know, casual conversation, you know, you may have a parent that may say to a son or daughter who is, trying to make a decision. Well, you know, let's look at the top 100 colleges and universities. And in this particular case, Howard is well in that number, not, you know, not 99, not 100, not 98, but well in that number. And you didn't necessarily mention this, so I'll mention this for you. You know, we beat Hampton.
Yeah, most certainly I do. But I also do recognize that, you know, this is but one marker, right? Ultimately, one of the things that I hope also carries the day is when we look at the PUDA, who are our alum, and with that education that we provide, do they then go out and change the world and make an impact? And I think the other thing that is clear is that is exactly what has happened. Now, remember, the data that's collected for this report was collected last year.
Mm-hmm.
We track that data closely. That data is continuing to improve. But also, when you think of peer assessment, I think in this season, Howard University has rightfully received a lot of attention around issues of healthcare disparities and the COVID pandemic, social justice and what we do, impact on arts and entertainment, and our impact in the political world. So you also do have lots of momentum next year as well, I believe, for people to really stop and take note of the university. And then you combine that with the fact that, as I mentioned, as people are shopping, they are looking for hard outcomes. Are there things that are going to attract us? So yes, we give students rebate for finishing on time. We have been producing a 3-year graduation rate. We intend to try to get that up to 10% of our incoming class finishing in 3 years. We started a combined bachelor's and JD program so that students could spend less time in undergrad and therefore have less course. So there's several reasons for people to continue to consider Howard University and also to be convinced that it is value that they will get by enrolling at Howard University at this time.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking all things Howard University with President Dr. Wayne Frederick. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You spoke about health, and there are a lot of things that you kind of listed, and I want to touch on those, but the next thing that I do want to discuss, you said the information as it relates to these rankings was collected in 2019 for the 2020 rankings, but now most colleges and universities across this country are doing remote or distance learning, and those that have not, and you know what, Dr. Frederick, you know, I just got a tweet that said somebody just told me we beat Hampton. Last I checked, you went to Morgan. You see how they do me? you see how they're talking about me? That's all right. I'll be tweeting you later. Anyway, as I but you know, as I was saying, with being in the midst of the pandemic, a lot of the universities that have started bringing students back, you know, that was short-lived. So what impact do you believe that the COVID-19 pandemic may have on how these rankings may bear out next year and the kind of goals that you're attempting to achieve?
Well, you know, again, our focus is student outcomes. We are not going to build rock climbing walls and things of that nature to artificially pad some of the ranking criteria, right? Financial resources is one of them. They look at how much money you put into building. We're going to renovate buildings and build buildings that are going to add to the academic environment. So we've done that with the residence halls by renovating The residents also, about 85% of the beds at Howard in the dormitories are 5 years or younger. We're starting to move in to the campus now. So the undergraduate library will be ready in January. And that's where our focus is going to be. Now, on the pandemic, the impact the pandemic will have potentially is whether or not students are going to be able to matriculate on time. And what we have seen is, especially for continuing students, they have continued to do very, very well. They have been persisting. That's one of the reasons our enrollment is so strong. We had a large incoming class, but we also had people persist and re-enroll and stay enrolled. And as a result, those students have been are going to do well. They are going to impact our retention rates, and they also are going to ultimately impact the graduation rate. And that actually is going to go up. And I think the pandemic has really gotten some students to focus on, you know, getting it done. Students have decided that I'm going to re-enroll, I'm going to persist and make sure that I graduate on time so I can get out into the workforce. And especially not being as mobile and having many other options, it actually probably has kept students focused with us. So I actually think it may have, ironically, a boost on our student outcomes. The key for us coming out of the pandemic is going to be, what do we do to make sure that we continue to keep that going? And what we are going to make sure we do it from a programming point of view is, again, present to students that a result of their persistence is that higher graduation rate and better opportunities and outcome, and therefore we should be able to give them that better opportunity and convince them that sticking with us and getting to that finish line is extremely important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking to Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. A lot of things happening right now for the university, even in the midst of a pandemic that has changed the way that business is conducted for colleges and universities across this country. If you have a comment or a question, lines are open at 202-319-7810. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an historic donation to the College of Medicine. Tens of millions of dollars that could make a major difference. That and more in just a bit. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is coming up next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR-FM. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about all things Howard University with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. Lines are open if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that happened on Sunday, Dr. Frederick, that not only has helped put Howard University back on and back in the spotlight, but also it's part of a broader conversation about racial injustice. The Howard University Choir sang the Black National Anthem when the Washington football team had its home opener at FedEx Stadium. This was virtual, but it was still, you know, the choir singing that, and that is part of the NFL's attempt to address some of the issues regarding racial injustice during the first week of the season. How did that come about?
Yeah, they reached out to our choir. You know, the Washington team. And so the choir director really was the one who, you know, marshaled the effort and the opportunity. And I think, as they always do, they did us extremely proud. I think they did a fantastic job, represented the university well, as they always do. And I also think from where the country is, these are the types of things that the country does need at this point in time.
What do you believe more broadly What do you think, more broadly, that this may mean in light of, you know, of where we are? There has been, you know, a lot of discussion about how the NFL has made the switch from penalizing players who will protest the national anthem to the NFL commissioner just a few months ago saying that he made a mistake about not supporting Colin Kaepernick. And now we have this momentous shift. And with Howard University, of course, as it relates to the Washington football team on Sunday, you know, playing this, you know, this incredible role. If and this isn't just about people of color, because there are people who, when you say the Black National Anthem, this was also part of an educational process, I would argue, for them.
Yeah, you know, I think Howard, we are in a very difficult moment in the country. But with all difficult moments, you have an opportunity. And one of the opportunities that I think we have as a nation right now is the opportunity to heal. There's a lot of healing that we have to do, but that healing cannot be achieved by platitude. It can only be achieved by us absolutely giving very, very honest feedback. It can be achieved by us embracing change and embracing difference. And that has to come from a place of sincerity. For too long, these issues have been kicked around without the underlying infrastructure being impacted and or changed, to be quite frank. And so what is taking place right now is going to lead to, I believe, is that greater understanding and that greater exposure. And yes, it has also resulted in a major change from where we have been as a country to where we are right now. Kneeling at the national anthem was simply seen as disrespect for those who had served, and obviously that was not the right approach, to be quite honest. What people are seeing is that people have been protesting against the idea that the racial injustices and the infrastructure of the country that supports it needed to be broken. And we are moving, hopefully, closer to that. And we have to move there, you know, with haste. And we have to get there. So every little bit counts. Everything that brings attention to this issue, I think, ultimately will count. And so it was an important moment, a poignant moment, for, again, Howard University to be represented, and the choir always represents us well. And it was certainly a proud moment for us to all see that on national television.
The day after the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington, and two Fridays ago, that Saturday, there were Howard University students who were also participating in protests. That you know, that's not new, because we have seen Howard University students, you know, particularly over the past several years, and muscular numbers doing that. But coming on the heels of the commemoration of that 57th anniversary, do you think that the students who were participating the day after, that was even more poignant? I mean, certainly as not only as a physician, you know, which is, you know, your wheelhouse, but a student of history, even Howard's history. Is this back to the future for Howard students, considering where we are right now?
You know, I'm glad that you bring this point up, because one of the things that I've been speaking to recently is the fact that Howard University has been on the road to social justice for its 153 years. And every now and then someone or group joins the caravan with good reason. And we had that during the civil rights era as an example. And once again, people have joined the caravan. We welcome them. We welcome the support. And as you put it in Back to the Future, the way I put it, that this is another leg of the journey. It has similar characteristics to prior legs of the journey. So we have to stay vigilant, being mindful of the fact that people may once again leave the focus that they have right now on this. They may leave us on the journey, but we are not going to leave. We're not going to turn back. We're not going to change doing what we have set out to do. And I think that that will hold us in good stead as we go forward. And so the young people that must carry that torch must carry it well. The other aspect of this that I think is important that also sometimes gets, I would say, a little bit undone in the circumstances, we tend not to have the right kinds of faith in our young people that we should. You know, there's a lot of worry and there's a lot of harm being done to young people in a pandemic, not being able to interact with people socially, et cetera. There's no doubt about that. Young people are definitely not getting the types of attention that that we hope that they would. And so this is a difficult moment for them. However, I think that we will create a very strong generation as a result, because they would have seen things and been through a difficult moment like no other. And so I have lots of faith that on the other side of this, this generation will be a golden generation as a result of the suffering that they are currently going through.
I want to talk about, and it just seems to me all of these things are, you know, where we are right now, and everything is inextricably linked to everything else. There is nothing that seems to be compartmentalized. And this contribution by Bloomberg Philanthropies, we're talking almost $33 million to the Howard University College of Medicine. Just plainly, you know, speaking, that's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money. And it kind of perks, you know, one's ears up because, you know, Michael Bloomberg and Bloomberg Philanthropies is well known for making some pretty hefty donations to, you know, various and sundry causes, particularly as it relates to public health issues and colleges and universities. So it's this was Howard's turn. What's that like for you being here to even witness that kind of donation?
Yeah, it's historic and transformative. Again, groundwork that has been laid before. We've made the argument continuously since I became president that we will be the number one institution that sends African Americans to medical school. When I took over, we were number two to Xavier. And I felt that a university with the undergrad campus we have, with the focus on STEM, with a college of medicine and its own hospital, needed to be number one for sending African Americans. And sure enough, that's exactly what we did. We became number one in that category. We've spoken about it during the period of time that we were working with the city on a solution for the hospital. During that difficult moment, we had a very strong campaign about the fact that AHU Health matters. And we once again identified and really promoted how important Howard University is in the health disparities ecosystem in this country. And what you've now seen with this gift, when we were approached about what's the best thing to make an impact, to be consistent with the Greenwood Initiative that Mike Bloomberg started, with the idea of creating intergenerational wealth, I felt that reducing students' debt was the best way to do that. If you have students graduating and not having that substantial amount of debt, their road or their climb to wealth becomes a much easier one without that debt. And then that can translate into generational wealth as they are able to raise their families and pass on the fruits of their labor. And so this is a historic and transformative gift that I think is well-placed and well-timed and will have very, very strong long-term impacts on shaping the Black professional class, because you also have to remember that these students often graduate and take jobs in serving their communities where they may not make as much money as their counterparts, but they are doing exactly what Howard University would want them to do. And so having them leave with less debt is certainly important, I think.
You know, earlier, last week, I had a chance to talk to Faith Gibson Hubbard. She is right now overseeing the mayor's, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's maternal and infant summit. It's virtual, starts tomorrow. It's going to run for a few days. But in the conversation that I had with her, and she was talking about communities of color, she said something that was just really kind of fascinating to me. She said, even when communities of color are presented with resources because they historically have been shown reasons why they should not trust those resources, which is why they're holding, you know, this summit. But I think the other piece of that is when you don't have culturally competent medical professionals in communities of color, that it really helps in growing those health disparities. Am I off base here? Does that make sense?
No, you're right on. You know, one thing is having more Black physicians. We just have to be open about that. But the other part of it is what you've articulated very well. You want culturally competent providers. And the other thing that we have noticed is when you have a diverse medical school, as we do, where you teach cultural competency and you expose students from diverse backgrounds to cultural competency, what you immediately get are physicians who can go out and support the communities that are in need of their service. And so I think you're absolutely right about this point, and I think it's a very critical point as well. As we move forward in terms of how do we support what must happen going forward. And so I commend the mayor for putting on this program in particular, and Dr. Hubbard for her leadership in the logistics of this, and also the content and really the substance of what will be discussed. And I'm happy to have been asked to participate, as I will, in terms of moderating one of the sessions. But I think it's a critical topic. It will bring, hopefully, to light that these resources are there, as you pointed out. But people have to feel comfortable and trust these opportunities in order to do that. And maternal health is extremely important. And unfortunately, is extremely challenged amongst African-American women.
As it relates to this Bloomberg donation, and I'm trying to make sure that I, you know, fully understand, you know, the process. Does this mean that there is an opportunity for students who want to attend the College of Medicine who may otherwise not believe that they could afford it? Now, see, is this an opportunity? If the only barrier is financial, would that make a difference?
Yeah, it will make a difference. You know, this gift is for the current students, and the goal here is to try to reduce the debt of the current students by $100,000 each. So somebody applying to med school to get in next year, this gift would not apply to them. However, there's a knock-on effect. Because of this gift, we will now be able to use some of our resources that we would have used for these four classes for other students who are currently at Howard and for students who will be coming in. And so, yes, I'm hopeful that this will be a factor. I'm also hopeful that down the road, we will also be able to go back and really impact this gift by doubling down on it and making and convincing others to make another investment in it because of the outcome that they will see.
And one of the other things that I did want to, to raise, with you is, school has been in session for just a little while. From your perspective, COVID college, which is basically what colleges and universities are having to deal with, how is the university doing right now? Where do you think there needs to be some improvement? What are you happy with in this 2020 fall semester?
So, I think for this semester, again, very unusual, very different, and something that we obviously have to be mindful of. Having said that, I do think, based on the start of the semester and the feedback that we've gotten so far, that what we have done with respect to the online instruction has been greatly improved. It was challenged back in the spring because of how quickly we had to make that change. But I would also say now that it is very, very much on firm footing. The faculty have made the adjustment well, and I think they have really gone to great lengths to stand this up in a great way. We are engaging students in a virtual environment, but we are still insisting on that virtual engagement because a major part of coming to Howard University is the ability to interact with others, to learn from others, to see people who look like you, come from different places but have similar dreams and aspirations and have talents and skill sets and intelligence on your level. We think it's important for students to see that in themselves and by seeing it in others, and therefore that engagement and interaction is critical. The other thing that we're doing is making sure we're supporting students holistically. Mental health is very, very important, and so we've expanded our counseling services in order to make sure that students are able to get that. And then our employees and staff as well. We have not taken any action on the workforce, and that's because we recognize that the African-American unemployment rate is already up to 13%. We are doing everything possible to try to avoid taking any action on the workforce, despite being in an environment where we may have decreased revenues. And so that's something that I think is equally as important, us trying to fulfill our broader social mission. We're going to have to come back to that every quarter to make sure that we're doing the right thing. So, yes, this is a difficult moment. It's an unusual moment. But I hope that everybody also acknowledges it's a moment that gives us an opportunity to show the best of who we are. As a university and as a community, and supporting each other, making sure that we're there for each other is important. And so far, that's what I have been seeing and what I am taking away from this, Harold. I have been very, very heartened by the effort that I've seen people really step up and provide.
It's funny you should mention that. When you talk about what, students interacting, but I would argue, more broadly as it relates to the 4 of the 5 senses, short of, you know, taste, and you know this, you went, you know, here, there is, for HBCUs, no matter where they are, you know, that first fall semester, the smell of the leaves, you hear the band practicing, you hear the crunch of the pads of, you know, of the football team. There is that, you know, the sweet noise of this multi-layered Black culture coming together and, you know, driving up on campus. You know, there's nobody here. You know, driving past, you know, my alma mater, and knowing that, you know, you don't feel that. You know, it almost, you know, things have changed, and it's so, you know, concerning. This is a part of Black culture that is, it is that sweetest taste of Black culture, and it's just heartbreaking to see what the coronavirus and the pandemic shutdown has done to us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I have been coming on this campus since 1988, and as you just pointed out, there's a cycle of life in the university's day-to-day that does exist, just as you described. And it's one that has been part of my existence since 1988. So I still go to campus every day. One of the things I occasionally do is I drive into the main gate and go around the courtyard. Sometimes I walk over there and just walk across that upper quadrangle. And it is very different. It's eerily different to be on that campus with no one around at this time of year in particular. And even in the summer when it's quieter, there still is always some hum, even if it's a smaller hum of activity that's taking place. And it is very different. However, what I would say is while that it can shake you to the core, it also gives you an appreciation for what is not there and a longing for when it returns and a reminder for why we are so blessed to have had those experiences and to be able to look forward to those experiences returning. And when they do, it gives us that much more reason for us to appreciate it when it does return. And so I certainly look forward to having students back on that campus and being able to engage them, to hear those usual sounds of, you know, footsteps, of laughter, of people stepping on the yard of the Divine Nine, doing their, participating in their activities, as you pointed out, hearing the band. Even going to the library and seeing students deeply engaged in their studies. You know, I walk around and wander in and out of classrooms is one of the things that I do as well. And so looking for all of those types of opportunities to return, I will certainly savor them in a very different way when they do.
Last point I wanted to touch on before we wrap up. The university has forged a partnership with Sitwell Friends School, very prestigious school in the D.C. metro. As it relates to teacher education, can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because, again, here we are again with something that is connected to where we are socially and politically in this country.
Yeah, this is an important partnership for us. You know, my daughter attends Sidwell. She is a freshman in high school at present. I am on the board at Sidwell now, so I'll give you those two disclosures. But when this conversation started, it started because the headmaster had approached me about wanting to see a more diversified teacher base. He wanted to see a curriculum that reflected more of what was in the society. And so he started meeting with the deans of the law school, divinity school, school of education. And they, along with the provost, had very good conversations about how we could assist in making a difference. And that continued to progress to us signing this agreement where we felt we could really bring about some very necessary change. Any opportunity to expose our students or expose others to our students and to assist with teacher education and getting a more diversified teacher workforce is one that we are going to do. And Sidwell, our friends, is a very, it has a national reputation. It's strong, and their desire to have a more diverse curriculum and more diverse teachers is one that I felt that we could be supportive. And so this is what the provost and the deans came up with, and I felt that this was the right thing for us to do at the right time. As you said, it happened, again, in a very pregnant moment in our country, but this was really had been set in place. I've been working on for well in excess of 12 to 18 months.
Well, Dr. Frederick, I think that's a good place to end this conversation, but I thank you for coming on and talking with us about some of this great news, but also, the really serious issues that Howard University is playing a part in, the broader spectrum of American history and where we are at this very moment. I can't, I can honestly say, there probably isn't a more relative time for a Howard University and an HBCU than right now, right in this very moment. So thank you so much, Dr. Frederick.
Thanks as always for having me, and we've been preparing for these types of moments in our history. So we're happy to embrace it and to try to do our best possible in this time.
Dr. Wayne Frederick, president of the Howard University, the Mecca. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, September 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.